you can belong in the family of God and be absolutely certain of your destiny and your future and your purpose and your meaning and your joy and your love and your status forever. But you won't find that into the ever-changing world. You will only find that in the ultimate unchanging perfection of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit by believing by grace through faith.
Living the Light listeners, welcome. Today we are so excited to have you back in the book of James. I'm here in studio with our teacher, Pastor Robbie, and he has a special encouragement for you today.
Thanks, Shannon. Sure do. As always, our Living the Light team, we are thrilled to be able to bring God's word to you in this way and to reach you where you are and praying sincerely for great impact upon your heart and your mind. Man, God's word is so needed, isn't it? It's light shining in a dark place. Hey, did you know at Living Light 2, especially maybe Shannon, we're in this series in James and we're praying people are encouraged and convicted. We talked about that, and conviction's good. Conviction is one of the main things the Holy Spirit came to do. Did you know we have a thing called a power partner? This is a relationship with our listeners who believe in this ministry, and they are desiring to give $30 a month to see the ministry of God's word reached more and more people through the station that you are listening to. Would you consider today maybe becoming a power partner with us here to shine the light through Living the Light and God's word? That would be such an encouragement to us. Again, we need the help and support of those who are being transformed by God's word, and our team would be so, so encouraged to know that is happening within your life. So Shannon, we're in the book of James. We are a message on the goodness of God. This is a verse that Jill, my wife, and I, that at our wedding day, we sang a song based right off this passage in James 1, 16 to 18. So it gives me some good vibes, you know what I'm saying? And I'm excited for our people to be able to hear what God's truth says about man. The Father of lights, every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven above. There's one God, he is awesome, and he is good, and he is gracious. So may the Lord specifically be speaking to the people with great encouragement today through his word.
Amen. That is so amazing. And the goodness of God is such an encouragement in our lives today. And the Bible tells us that God is only good and everything good comes from him. I can't wait to hear more about the goodness of God. So open your Bible with me today to James chapter 1 and let's hear more about our amazing Savior. Amen.
Amen. Can you open your Bibles, please, to James chapter 1? We'll be looking at verses 16 to 18, James chapter 1, continuing in our series here. Our sermon title today is this, The Goodness of God. The goodness of God, the goodness of God. He indeed is so good. In recent years, though, there's been an evident shift of how Christianity is portrayed in media and entertainment. Not only are these mediums mocking Christianity, which is really nothing new, but in recent days, there's been an increase of trying to portray Christianity or Christ himself as evil. Many attempts trying to portray Christianity and Christ as sources of hate or bigotry or the restraint of self-expression or getting in the way of self-worship. Last weekend, Super Bowl, there was an ad campaign, which actually I'm very, very encouraged by. It's called He Gets Us. Maybe you've seen that. And I was pretty amazed. They secured, you know, among many different advertising windows, but in the Super Bowl, which cost millions, of course, but He Gets Us has been brought together by Christian ministry seeking to encourage the truth about Jesus Christ in his love, his truth, his grace, and his compassion, that if anyone gets us in this world, his name is Jesus Christ. And that's the intent of this advertising campaign, how we're following the Super Bowl ad. One of the political figures in the United States, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she tweeted referencing that Super Bowl ad is likening Jesus to fascism. And so that's just categorically, of course, false and untrue, but that's kind of not surprising. That's where our world is going these days. Now, what I love about our God, though, he's taken a few shots over the years, and he's doing just fine. He's doing just fine today, and he's not concerned, does not worry for even a millisecond. What he's also done, though, in these attempts to malign Christ and to cause people to think falsely about the Christian faith, what God has done, he's given us his word. And the reason his word, of course, is so valuable because his word is used to cleanse ourselves of the corruption and the lies of our world and to renew our minds to what is actually true, that we would continue to follow Christ with purity and fidelity and integrity. That's what James does in our text today. Evidently, people were believing wrong things about God. So what James is doing by the help of the Holy Spirit, he's correcting or cleansing false thinking to lead people to truth, specifically this, in the reality of the goodness, the character, the quality, the beauty of our God. So that's why he starts. Look at verse 16. He starts with, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Do not be deceived." And then he continues on, verse 17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change." Verse 18, "Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth," awesome, "that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." So notice again here, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers or sisters. So beloved here is a term of affection. James in this letter is appealing for truth. And some of the things he says are kind of hard to digest. It's clear, it's blunt, but listen, he says, listen, I love you. My beloved brothers and sisters, I'm speaking to you in truth, but I love you as I do. If I did not love you, I would not speak truth to you. But because I love you and care for you, and I have so much affection for you, I desire for you to not be deceived, that you might know the truth, because it's the truth that sets you free. It's interesting, do not be, notice the word deceived. Deceived in the original conveys a sense of wandering. It's like in verse 6, James also mentioned those who doubt are like a wave tossed in the sea. It's very similar to that. Do not be deceived. And isn't that the great danger of our day? As the hymn says, so many, we all are prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. So many in our day have been led astray from the truth of God in the Bible because of the bombardment of lies in our world that we face every single day. I mean, just think of what the schools are saying, our workplaces are saying, the media are saying. They are absolutely flooded with deception that are telling us lies about God and lies about his word. They are blaspheming the name of Jesus Christ in so many circumstances that are trying to make people be deceived, that they might wander away from the truth of the character of our holy God. That is why we cannot be deceived, beloved brothers and sisters. Especially, you could argue now more than ever in this nation, we must be rooted in what is true, and especially when it comes down to the character and the goodness of the God that we belong to. So it's a very important time right now. Listen. We must not listen to the Board of Education and what they tell us about who our God is. We must not listen to that. They don't know who our God is. We must not listen to the media and start explaining to us who our God is. We must not listen to people who don't know our God and tell us who he is. We must listen to God and what God says about who God is. And how do we do that? From his word. From his word, we must be people of the book. If not, we will be deceived and be led astray and wander away from that which is most critical to our lives, our well-being, and the very blessing rooted in the very goodness of God. So an incredibly important time. And yet it grieves my heart that you have professing believers that are putting more attention to the things of the world and what they say as opposed to what God has so clearly said. And this is another way we get to do this today. We're not interested in the world. We're interested in God. We're interested in his book. We're interested in his truth. And he's going to speak to us today specifically about his character today and who he truly is. And so this is an opportune time for us. It's exciting, but it's under the banner. Do not be deceived, church. You're here right now, maybe sitting in overflow. You're watching online. Do not be deceived. Do not wander away from what? Number one, do not be deceived on this. Our God is the giver of all good gifts. Our God alone is the giver of all good gifts. So verse 16, do not be deceived. I love you so much, brothers and sisters. Verse 17, don't be deceived on this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. The main point of verse 17 is clear. Listen. God is and can only be the source of all things good. I want you to think about that, and I want you to just for a second meditate on that. God is and can only be the source of all things good. Now, in our context, some were tempted to think that God is responsible for tempting them with evil. That's verse 13. We understood that, Pastor Nathan's great sermon last week, and that's impossible. God cannot tempt us with evil because God is only good. God's character is 100% perfectly filled with goodness and with generosity. I want us to see again the abundant generosity of the character of God that we're learning about right here again in our text today. Verse 17, every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. So loved ones, again, here understand, the heart of your God is to bless. We're learning that right now. The character of our God is to shower with love. His heart is to give. His heart is to pour out favor and love. That is the heart of our every good, not some, every good gift, every perfect good comes down from above, from the Father of lights. Let us remind ourselves right now, this is the God to whom we belong to. Our God is the source of everything good, right? Like always remember, everything he does is good. Everything he commands is good. If he commands it in the book, it is good. It is for our ultimate blessing and for his glory. He's incapable of doing bad. It's impossible for him to command something negative or to command something that results in evil or bad. He cannot do that. Whatever we hear from him, every single command is designed for our good, from his good, leading to his glory. What are you listening to in our day? What are the things that people are telling you contrary to the reality? God can only do what is good. And of course, this all starts from the very beginning. A fundamentally and foundationally established in creation. Everything that God created, Genesis 1 and 2, it was declared by him to be good. Why was it good? Because God did it. Because God did it, that is why. You can put it this way, God never bakes burnt cookies. Never. Everything he does is good. Wouldn't you know it, that Just trying to find a way to phrase that, you know, on Thursday, wherever it was, wrote that down. He never messes up a batch of cookies. I kid you not, it was Friday. Made cookies for the first time in a while. had some frozen kind of stuff. We had an air fryer at home and I just forgot the temperature setting and I put it too high. I came back and the cookies were burned. Like, there we go again. Fail. Totally fail. God never does that. He never does that. Perfect. That's perfect. God never bakes a batch of imperfect cookies. He's incapable of making mistakes. Now, the only exception to this in the creation account, I just want to point this out, which is the only exception to this was when God saw that man was alone. And God said, it is not good that man should be alone. So I will make a helper fit for him. Then the woman was created. Male and female were created. Listen, in the genius and design of God, male and female were created. Do not be deceived by the messaging of our day. God is the giver of all good gifts, and the pinnacle of his blessed and good creation was the design for male and female who are made alone in the image of God. This is a reality, and God said again, it was very good. Listen, when Adam first set eyes on Eve, he started singing, God is so good. God, right? I mean, he just knew it. I mean, the first recorded words of human beings in scripture is Adam looking at Eve and saying, this at last declared a burst of excitement and joy, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. God has done again what is good, because only God and only good can come from God. Even in our context from James thus far, God gives steadfastness. God gives joy. God gives wisdom. God grants inheritance. God gives us the crown of life. God gives us his Holy Spirit. God grants us life eternal. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. You see that phrase coming down too. This is a participle. And it's suggesting a continuous and repeated action. So God continuously, again, his heart, the heart of God for our lives, heart of God for our souls. The heart of God is to continuously pour out lavish gifts upon his children day after day after day. You are here today. Do not be deceived in the false promises of our world. God alone is the giver of all good gifts, and every perfect gift coming down. I love that. Coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change. I saw that phrase, Father of lights. Never changes, every good and perfect gift. You know, Jill and I on our wedding day, we sang, there's a worship song called Father of Lights. And we sang that song on our wedding day almost 23 years ago now. And I just like, many of you may not even know that song. I looked it up again this week and I started listening to it. It's by Vineyard and it's such a blessing for us. A little side note here, at our wedding, I didn't know, but Pastor Cliff, his jazz band played at our wedding and they led us in worship Father of Lights. And then several years later, I would have actually met Pastor Cliff officially, whatever, just a side note. I thought that was really neat, the way the Lord uses that. And so here we are. But Father of Lights, you never change. You have no turning. Father of Lights, again, understanding every good and perfect gift. And just the reason, Jill and I love that song at our wedding day was like whether it's the sun that was shining, whether it was the grass that was green, whether it was the friends and family gathered around, whether it was the sense of joy, whether it was the love that you felt in surrounding, whether it was the grace of God and being joined in marriage, whether it was the food you're going to enjoy after the wedding ceremony, whatever, just anything good in that day is not us, it's him. Every single ounce of good, every good gift, every perfect gift, anything that you can find in your life under the definition of good, it's not you, it's not me, it's the Lord. Like, I encourage you today, like, look around, any good, like your heart beating right now, that's good, that's the Lord. You have an awareness of Jesus Christ. I mean, you are saved in Jesus Christ. That's a perfect gift. We'll get there in a second. Any good that you can see of any kind in any way, every good gift and perfect gift is the Father's heart lavishing upon you his love and grace and kindness that is not deserved by us, but he loves to give it. This is the character of our God. He is the giver of all good gifts. And we learn this secondly The goodness of our God, our Father of lights, is unchanging. He is unchanging. Again, look at verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So our exceedingly generous God now is called here, notice, the Father of lights. This is the only time that phrase is used in Scripture. Lights here almost certainly refers to the heavenly bodies, the sun, moon, and the stars. And our God is the Father of them all. I just couldn't let this pass by here in this part of the message. I just want to take some moment for glory and awe given to our Father of lights regarding creation, the Father of lights, the stars in the sky. Do you know that there are enough stars in the universe that every person on earth, I think this is probably underestimated, but there, scientists say there are enough stars in the universe that every person on earth would personally own 13 billion. You know, scientists estimate there are the same number of stars in the universe as grains of sand on all the beaches in the world. So my joke is, last time I was at the beach, I had a couple thousand stars between my toes, right? I mean, that's just the massive, trying to fathom the infinite creating work upon our God as well. Just some other stats for you, just to kind of hurt your head. How many stars are in the universe? Another way to look at it, our Milky Way has about 100 billion stars. So that's a lot. But then there are about 2 trillion galaxies, you know, give or take several hundred million or whatever it is, in the universe. So therefore, a modest estimate of total number of stars is 200 sextillion. How much is that? I don't know, man. It's this right here. Look at that. 200 sextillion. So one of the ways we try to put things so we can maybe, so this is about, I stress about, 10 times the number of cups of water in all the oceans of Earth. Can you imagine? 1, 2, 3, like just try it 10 times. It's awe-inspiring. This is our God. Maybe go back to that slide of the stars there and just to look at that and some of these pictures that just kind of, you know, I love looking up at a starry sky. And what's the point of this? God is the Father of them all. Jesus Christ is Lord of them all. And what's the main point of this reference in our text here? It's this, the unparalleled power of our God, the Father of lights. But most importantly, this, the one who is unchanging, doctrinally speaking, he is immutable. He does not change. Verse 17, there is no variation or shadow due to change. See, the reality is the lights, the stars of the universe are constantly changing and aging and moving. But our God is unchangeable in nature, his perfections, his purposes, his promises, and gifts. Our God is holy. He's incapable of turning to evil. He is light and therefore will never, ever be darkness. In him, there is no darkness at all. So this is massive encouragement for us here in terms of the goodness of God. Our God is unchanging, but we live in a world that changes every single day. There's so much mass confusion right now. There's no stability. There's constant chaos. We live in a time now where your truth, again, your truth is based on how you feel that given day. Like that's the world we're living in now. You can wake up and decide your truth is one day and then Tuesday wake up and your truth has changed. And it's all based on how you feel. That's how truth is being defined. That is a recipe of absolute disaster. Because we're losing the very basis and anchor and foundation of our entire society and soul and well-being of that which got us here in the first place. Not surprisingly, just this past week, a large CDC study came out testifying to incredibly high rates of teenage girls specifically feeling high levels of forms of sadness and suicidal thoughts. One of the headlines is, quote, never before seen levels of hopelessness, sadness, and suicidal thoughts among teenage girls. Of course, the boys are struggling too, but the girls even more. Never seen before levels of sadness, hopelessness, and suicidal thoughts among teenage girls. When will our world admit their ways do not work?
where there'll just be another excuse upon excuse upon excuse. The further we push away from the character and goodness of God, the more devastating the results will become. God promised us so. Interestingly, in this study too, there's a disproportionate amount of LGBTQ plus teenagers who are intensely struggling with the same levels of hopelessness, suicidal thoughts, and deep depression and despair. And the world will say, well, that's because of the stigma. Or is it because you are feeding young people with promises that will never be able to be delivered upon, and you are deceiving them into thinking there's a path that will lead to satisfaction, but it's actually moving them further and further away from the very foundation of life and the goodness of God found in Jesus Christ and to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? When will our world admit its ways are not working? See, but here's the thing. We ultimately live in a battle of light versus darkness, of good versus evil. Satan will never, ever admit, because he doesn't care about truth. He just wants to kill people. And that's the ultimate source behind what's happening in our day. And so our job, with boldness and courage and love and grace and humility and affection for Jesus Christ, is to say what is true with love and gentleness, but to say what is true about the actual character and goodness of our God, the unchanging nature of our God, and to say to our people, to young people, to the culture at large, say, listen, you can belong to a God who never, ever changes. You can have a truth that is infinitely and eternally secure. You can belong in the family of God and be absolutely certain of your destiny and your future and your purpose and your meaning and your joy and your love and your status forever. But you won't find that into the ever-changing world. You will only find that in the ultimate unchanging perfection of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, by believing by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The goodness of God, again, is his unchanging nature. This is what we are commissioned again to do. Do not be deceived, church. The gifts you need are from God above. He alone is the source of all blessing. So one of the things we have to do, listen, some of you here right now, here's a sentence for you. Based on God's word, stop drinking from the sewer. It's time to receive from the fountain of life. Jesus Christ is the only one who can dispense living water. And some of you are here right now, maybe you're sitting overflow right now, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you. He says, my child, it's time to stop again living in the gutter and trying to get your satisfaction from that which will never satisfy.
Hey everyone, I'm sure many of you have heard that November 28th is Giving Tuesday. No, doesn't sound familiar? Well, Giving Tuesday is a global generosity movement unleashing the power of people and organizations to transform their communities and the world. It was created in 2012 as a simple idea, a day that encourages people to do good. Over the past 11 years, this idea has grown into a global movement that inspires hundreds of millions of people to give, collaborate, and celebrate generosity. Live in the Light exists to see lives radically transformed by the revelation of God's truth. This is what's close to our hearts. If you get fired up for the gospel and people learning about Jesus is your heartbeat as well, would you consider spending your Giving Tuesday on Live in the Light? A gift of any amount helps keeps us on the air, and because of that, more people can hear God's word each day through stations like this. If the mission of Live in the Light resonates with you, you can donate on our website at liveinthelight.ca. We can't wait to see what God will do through the generosity of His people this Giving Tuesday. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light.